Thanks. No, we didn't. Don't worry. Okay, great, thank you.
Smells like pizza in here. I like that smell.
And I'm looking at the lady like, do I know you?
Oh, is this yours right here? Yes, right here.
You should sit in the middle.
It's right there.
You mentioned it. I'll sit in the middle.
Would you care for something, ma'am?
I would, if you don't mind. Let's go to that mark. Nobody else is parking into that one.
It's bizarre.
Pepperoni and mushroom and sausage, just sausage, Joe Pet.
Well, thank you, Miss Pizza Lady.
Oh, I didn't order an authentic.
Up front in that little clear line of retreat to the door.
It's generally a right.
You're even sitting there in the front.
Not nearly as much like your crowd.
You're here.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about it as you were maybe last.
Can you grab something?
Are you still able to or not? In a public building?
I always try to.
I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, it's like.
Interesting way to do this. Interesting way to do this. Nice! That's impressive.
I won the bet with my girlfriend for the semester.
For the semester, yeah. Now try and do it again.
All right. I'm sure at some point I'll lose, but.
That's awesome, though. There's no way I could do it. I got a coffee cup full sitting on the stand in my office.
I came without an addiction.
No, I got the fueling tank up and running. It's still not working right.
That's always different.
Yep. Why not?
Supposed to have got auxiliary circuits to turn on the hot plate and the blower humidifier in there that don't work. So I noticed there's a number now that it's working is a number for support.
So the number only shows up when it's working?
Yeah, when it'll turn on.
That's pretty convenient. Yeah. It probably limits their support.
Not yet. I was ordering pizza. Okay.
As a fact, it needs a new control board.
I guess we kind of hunt once we get there too.
And they say,
right.
Let you know.
Whatever you want me to do, you can always just delegate.
Okay.
I'm good for that.
I poured myself a Diet Coke and I looked at you. In all honesty, I'm not really sure.
Rex, is that okay? The sausage and mushroom fries?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will eat just about anything but tomato soup.
Will you? Okay.
For some reason, I don't like tomato soup.
Awesome.
No. I gotta leave in a couple minutes. So, that's all by yourself. Poor Jeff.
Well, I'll just get through the business part of this quick. Call the meeting to order. We need to put the minutes of the September meeting. I think I said August in the email, which is September, it's August actually.
Second.
Motion is second. The additions or corrections? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Number two is priority of searches. Let's start with the good news first. This morning we hired Robin Klein, who has both a bachelor's and a master's degree from UW-Platteville, to try to fill those shoes of Deb Rice, whose shoes can probably never be filled, but she'll do the best she can. That position is going to be somewhat different and expanded from what Deb's position has been, whereas Deb was only half-time in the summer doing advising. Robin's is a full-time position, and instead of teaching three courses as Deb did, she's only going to teach two a semester. And the idea is to free up some time so we've got a little more time to help with advising, more time to help with visits, more time so we can get some more support. We also had hopes that we could have filled Dana's position out of the same search. We had a line on a guy out of Florida who has back background in online stuff. He's a former police officer. I mean, he just did. And unfortunately, he decided after talking to his wife, he couldn't afford to come here. And I don't know why he couldn't figure that out before we interviewed him online. But we have permission to fill that position out of the same search. If we can find someone who's qualified, we don't know yet if they are. If not, we'll have to recast it and do it with some of the more specific kind of guidelines for it. Everybody, Ed and Deb and I were just crestfallen that this guy didn't take the job because it was just like perfect. The other searches, not so much. We had
weather report.
Well, actually, that's I think one of the reasons why the other search. We had four people that we brought in for the other three faculty positions. One of them was determined by the committee to not be suitable. The other three had offers made to them. One of them, Danielle, actually I think we had a pretty good financial office offer, but she chose to take a job close to her family. In fact, when the dean offered her the salary, she was surprised it was as high as it was. It was higher than she thought she was going to be offered. So I don't think it was a money thing. I think it was a family thing. She had another option. The other guy, Brian, was from California. Unfortunately, the day he was here, I was meeting with him at Country Kitchen, and he's looking over my shoulder. He says, "Is that snow falling?" And I looked, and I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "It's the first time I've ever seen snow fall." No. Of course, that was the day it was all sloppy and icky and everything else. He had to drive back the next morning to the airport. And so, California boy, maybe we ought to have some kind of criteria in the searches that say if you're not from Middle America, you need not apply.
Right, if you're not familiar with snow.
Not familiar with snow, you need not apply. He ended up taking a different job at Southern Utah or something. And I think also that was related to being closer to family and so on. Too bad, because everybody liked him and he's done a nice job.
You'll still see snow there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's exactly what the deal is. I suspect also that there's somewhat of a, since his wife hadn't been here, that you always kind of wonder sometimes if you've got to bring in two people instead of one. Anyway, the third guy, Danny McGuire, has an open offer right now. We made an offer to him. He's the guy out of Chicago, ex-police officer, former police officer. I'm not sure ex is the right word. Fits the position really, really well. People liked him. He was dynamic in the classroom. He ran into some, how would you say this?
Ex-wife issues.
Okay. Where he has custody of the children, there is a deal where he has to remain within 50 miles of downtown Chicago, and he thought that was resolved. Apparently she was moving to Florida where it was going to be not an issue, and all of a sudden she's not, and she's enforcing it, and there we are. And he won't move here into a custody because there's a reason he has custody and she doesn't, upset. And so what we've done is to try to give him extra time to see if there's some alternative he can work out. The odds aren't real high that that'll happen, but the bet is a really good one, which is it's not costing us anything to wait, and the outcome of the payoff can be really high. Expected value really high, and probability not. At least potentially that's the case. So. I talked to the dean yesterday about it, and I said since the searches are now suspended, and I think I had mentioned that to everyone, where we're because of the budget crisis, the dean said make no more offers. She did free up the academic staff ones that we're working on, but the faculty ones are suspended, except for Danny McGuire, who still remains an open offer to him. And either Pat or I will talk to him the next day or two here and see where he's at, and so I'll cross our fingers and see what happens with that. Assuming that the dean unfreezes them at some point here, it would not shock me if we lose one of them, simply to budget crisis and stuff. We may be able to give up FTE without losing the tenure position. I don't know yet. We'll see what happens. We're probably in better shape than a lot of places are. I think there'll be some really unhappy departments by the time this is all done. They're trying to make up $5 million. Last year they had to make $500,000, and I suspect her number's bigger this year, and you can't keep cutting without eventually having problems. So we'll see. I'll let you know as soon as we learn from that. She said she'd try to let me know by the end of this week where we're at, and as soon as I learn that, I'll pass a message on to you so you know where we're at with it. Assuming that we still are able to at least continue searching for a couple of them, assuming Danny is not able to resolve his issues, to have to reload for the spring. We thought we were getting ahead of people in the fall by trying to do this in the fall. Well, but Val, you or Cheryl, one of the other, said apparently a lot of people were searching in the fall already. So we ran into a lot of competition I thought we were going to miss. And so maybe we'll collect another set of people who haven't been looking at in the fall and the spring and see what happens. The good news is all that paperwork is done, the questions, all that stuff is done. All we have to do is just put the stuff back out there and wait. All the prep work is complete, so it'll be much less of a hassle to do that. So got one, still waiting on the others. We'll see what happens. So, any questions or observations on any of that?
Just ask if Joel's getting them, if we're going to have a surplus.
Probably not.
We're always in the hole.
Not to anybody in 8 days, or you have any, where to look or who to ask or.
Where's the slush pond?
What kind of voodoo
doll is the slush pond?
It's right here.
That's it, that's our slush right there, that's all we have. Free pizza once in a while, we have to include that in our numbers. Moving on to curriculum matters, I'm real concerned about making sure that we're in the right place when we get to the Higher Learning Commission. We are getting to a point where we have to do assessment in a way that reflects our student learning outcomes in the classroom. That's what they're going to make us do. And we can either have that imposed on us in a very unhappy way later, or we can get ahead of the curve right now. I've asked Rex and Pat to put this issue toward the top of their list of things to do next semester. In fact, they're going to have a course release to do this, because if we don't have this ready to roll by the end of the semester, where we've got a pretty good idea of what we're doing, we're going to find ourselves up against HLC and in trouble. And nothing's going to come out of that. The good news about this is that as we look at things like student learning outcomes and curricular matters, we also have a curriculum committee that's looking at this, and of course everybody should be involved in thinking about these issues too. We have a chance to maybe do two things at once and make sure they dovetail really well. And I'm sure early on here what we'll do is get Colleen McCabe out of HPHC or whatever their acronym is these days, out of what used to be Phi-Ed. She's an expert on assessment in the academic setting, and we'll bring her in, we'll work together with her and try to lay out what has to happen. In a nutshell, think of this as a hierarchy, starting with program learning outcomes for students. It's possible those get bifurcated into a couple, meaning FI and CJ. It's possible it gets trifurcated or out of quadricated, I don't know if there's a word like that. But anyway, you could also kind of imagine that maybe if there's a corrections one, there's a law enforcement one, there might be several here that we might want to look at. I don't know yet. We kind of need to look and see if that's what it is. But it doesn't have to just be one. But we're talking about outcomes. We're not talking about 39 of them. We're talking about 3 to 5 max. That's what our students will be able to do when they leave the program. And then that comes down to courses, where these courses will also reflect these program outcomes, and they'll have more specific learning outcomes. Again, some number in the 5 area, not 39 of them, because that's nuts. And the whole idea behind this is that those learning outcomes have to be able to be tracked to how we assess students as they go through the courses, exams, papers, whatever they do. Whatever it is. And so that's the tracking back that HLC wants to be able to see us doing. And so we need to have that. And certainly the thing here with these two gentlemen is that they're going to have some time here to be able to devote to this, but everybody else needs to be engaged in the process too, so we all know what we're doing. And when we get there, we all know where it's headed. So that's where that's headed. And fortunately, unlike a lot of programs, we actually have enough FTE we can do that from time to time. As we go along here, we'll have other opportunities for people to get releases to do various things as time goes on. That's one of the nice things of a place like Rockford and the online program and so on. We have resources nobody has, so we can do stuff like this. And if we don't take advantage of it, we're nuts. And so as we go along, others will get the same kind of thing. We'll be looking for an opportunity to have people do a release to have a specific project or do other kinds of things as we go forward. Any questions on that? Since I mentioned Rockford, just as an update on Rockford, remember if we mentioned this before, we lost the guy who was supposed to teach in Rockford 2 weeks before the semester started. In August, we were able to fall into a pile of manure and come out smelling like a rose, and we found Eric Bruno, who's done a wonderful job with them, but he's getting promoted down in Rockford, which is, at least he's good enough to get promoted. And so he's resigning the teaching position as of mid-year, and some of you may have seen Lori Sweeney in here yesterday. She's a retired deputy chief from Rockford. She's going to take over teaching the course in the spring. We have a chance to actually get some Rockford kids here in the fall that come out of Jefferson and out of this program, so we're, you know, looking 3-4, maybe, possibly as many as that. We have people down there working with them, so we may start seeing a yield out of it. We still are getting some cash thrown off from that program, and if we can expand it to other places or expand it within Rockford, this is part of where, you know, if the university's taking all these budget hits, which it is, we are uniquely positioned to be able to find other sources of revenue to be able to make up for that stuff, and it's a godsend for us. So. And they want to expand the program next year. They're still on board for doing that. We're playing games. You can ask Pat later because he's lived it. Whereas I get to just experience it. Hey.
Here you
go. Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have been for the pizza button.
Look back there. So we're playing games with them right now. The union in the school district is excited because they're actually working for us, not for the school district, because we try to go through their process. So it doesn't work. We can't find anybody within their union. We hire them as an adjunct like we normally would. They're just teaching down there. Well, they're all excited. Their union's all excited about that, as you might imagine. So we'll see what happens. So. Curriculum committee, did you want to say something briefly about that?
Well, I have to run another meeting, but I gave the list to Pat. We're looking at a lot of different ways to hopefully improve the curriculum, make some good changes. For example, we're looking at the GPA requirement for the internship and the major. And then, Pat, do you want to just run down the list?
Yeah, just briefly. We're looking at additional curriculum ideas, possibly, you know, with the input of the folks that are teaching these things, possibly combining some courses in the FI program and developing so that we can free up some space to develop new programs that Ron's assessment kind of speaks to. Ron was tasked early on with going out and looking at other CGA programs. As a matter of fact, I told him, I said, Ron, go out and find the best CGA programs in the nation and lay out the courses that they require and compare it to ours. So he put together a really nice spreadsheet, which will give us a basis to be able to compare what we're doing here to some of the best CGA programs, or at least other CGA programs that are out there, and give us some clues to directions where we may want to head. And those directions include things like organized and white collar crime, intro to computer forensics and advanced forensics, cybercrime, terrorism, homeland security, criminological theory, social justice, victimology, bias and hate crimes, psychology of urban youth, private security management, civil law, law and justice, privacy, technology and law, applied ethics, illegal bias, a lot of different areas that we can either have interest in on the part of faculty that we already have on board, but also pull in folks possibly from business and from computer science to offer these courses that require some more specific expertise, and pulling from there to enhance our program. So that's kind of the direction, you know, that we're looking.
We have a meeting tomorrow. We're going to try to narrow it on the list of some top five priorities, and we can send the list to the department, maybe, too, if you guys want it.
If people have ideas for things that they think we should look at, please sing out with them, because you hear the people in the committee or whatever, we're kind of accumulating just a bunch of ideas that people come up with to look at. The department used to have a portfolio, and I understand that eventually the overwhelming nature of the paperwork just snowed people under, and eventually it kind of disappeared. And that was the major reason that under the old system, I could see how that would have just driven people nuts. And it's fine when you have 500 majors, but when you have 900, it becomes a whole different deal. And we didn't expand the faculty that much. But there's a way that we might be able to do this in a relatively painless fashion, which is you can get these swipe things from the PIC, where instead of having signed stuff and everything else, students can swipe their cards on. And you get an automatic record, a database of what students have done. And we could do something along those lines, require the 10x number of whatever's during their time here, or have them attend X number of things before they become qualified as a CJ major, or there's any number of things they do, and it's easy. You just dump in a database, and there it is, and nobody has to do any paperwork at all, and nobody has to sign anything in meetings, nobody has to do anything. So there are some possibilities that we could return to that and make that easy. I've been trying to get students to go to meetings. They don't go. And I'm sure a lot of you are to the point where we just make them go. We had a tornado thing that stopped our court. They did a wonderful thing. I learned stuff, and I was in the middle of the darn thing. And there were 5 students there. And I know some are working, some are class. There's some reasons why they're not there. But we have almost 9 of our students. That 5 show up is just a travesty. So we might want to think about whether we go that direction. Other things are that I've heard from more than one person are things like maybe a new course on communication called social intelligence, emotional intelligence, communication skills, tactical communication, whatever you want to call it. Everybody knows that everybody's going around doing this stuff today. And the people in this room know how to communicate, but increasingly our students seem less able to exercise those skills. And maybe we do something where we teach them how to walk up and shake somebody's hand and introduce themselves and look them in the eye and be an engaged person instead of what they are doing. The number of students that walk in my office, they don't say, I'm such and so, or whatever. They just walk in and blast out a question. I don't get them thinking, you know, you should say hello, hi, so who I am, do you have a moment, something. They just do that. And I know that's what they're learning, and that's what they're coming to college with, but that's another issue that people talk about. And there's about, what do you have, 6 or 8 other things we've written down that were ideas like this, where what do we want our students to be able to do? Where are they lacking? What can we do to improve that? So if you have any ideas, tell the members of the committee or write an email or do something to see what happens. Don't know if we can do it all, but certainly there's some places we can.
I do have a question about the curriculum committee, since I do sit on it, but are we also supposed to review the Masters of Criminal Justice Program curriculum?
No, not at this point.
And why not?
That's fine. I think the curriculum should be looked over by the department at some point. Then it's got to go to the grad council. But yeah, I'd be happy to, as running, I'd be happy for y'all to look at it and give you some ideas.
But my reaction isn't that it shouldn't be done, just that we have a pretty big task ahead of us with the undergraduate.
Oh, well, I understand it's a big task, but I was just thinking if you're going to organize and go through the process, what's the marginal additional work that's almost redundant? What's the marginal work required to look at the major or master's at the same time? If it's just a little bit, maybe it'd be worth it.
Well, look and see. I mean, maybe it is. It's master's, it's online. I'm not sure that's just an incremental thing. But
and all the information's online, too. All the courses and all the learning objectives. And so everything's online. You know what I'm saying? All the learning objectives. And I'd be happy, it'd be fine.
And if that's the case, then Cheryl should be on the committee.
Well,
possibly. And I'm not saying she should be right now. I'm just saying if that's the decision.
For now, HLC is much more likely to be concerned about what we're doing as the undergraduate thing. And I think
they're looking just at the undergraduate?
No, I think they're more likely to be concerned about that. Because that's where we need to make sure we have things like student learning outcomes. I know Cheryl's got some of that stuff with the online program. Mm-hmm. Where I think it's less of a concern at this point.
Okay.
Where we have the biggest void in terms of being able to do that. And this department isn't any different than any other ones. They're all, I can't think of any other department. Maybe Colleen McCabe's department has this stuff, but I can't think of any department. I know social science didn't have any of this stuff. So it's not like we're unique this way. We're going to have to build this structure. And so is everybody else going to have to do it too if they don't already have it. So, but I know there's a little bit of some of this exists already in the master's program, much more so than we already have in the undergraduate. So it's the place of greater concern, I guess, at this point.
And the thing is with the, and I'd be happy, I think it's a good idea. I think departments look at it for sure, no doubt. And I'd be happy to come to the meetings that we do that, there's no doubt. But keep in mind that our grad goes through the, well, I think undergrad goes through it as well, right, Tom? The oversight review committee goes over every so many years, and the grad council reviews it every year. I mean, there's like 3 or 4 committees that goes through it.
We're trying to go through some Form A thing right now, which I only barely understand. And pull data off this thing that they have, this reporting system, and it's wrong. And so you don't even know if you can trust the stuff you don't recognize. Do you know we have 3 faculty members?
Hmm.
Well, it says.
Back in 1980.
So, and when you start realizing there's errors in the data, you don't know if the stuff, you don't recognize it's wrong either. And so I can't trust any of it, so we do the best we can.
Well, you go get the reports and you never hear anything back from them.
Because they're looking salute and that's all they.
I guess.
So. Couple of other tidbits. Tom has agreed that if we don't find anybody in FI to be able to continue the course, that he'll continue to do the one he's doing. I was drawing a blank on the name of it.
Oh, Primalistics.
Primalistics right now. And he's taking one for the team here because he's in a place where it's not in his comfort zone. So give him a pat on the back or an attaboy or kicking the pants, your choice. I was here this summer. He's in here peering through microscopes all the time and stuff, trying to figure this stuff out. And so, he's taken on a prep that is not an easy prep here to do, as well as the CSI stuff. So he's kind of taken one for the team here to do this. And if we can't find anybody, he's willing to do that. Related to that is we may end up just having to find people and hire academic staff with master's degrees in order to do some of these courses. That may be what we have to do. If that's what it is, that's what it is. And we can borrow Pat and Tom's credentials and to a lesser extent probably a couple of other people's credentials to give us some more gravitas in it, I guess, if you will. Right now, we'll see what we can do in the spring. When I might get lucky, might not. The last thing is, you're all familiar with Sherry's issue right now. And she's gone today because she's back at the doctor because she's struggling with it. It's causing her significant pain, and she's trying to get one of the pins out. And she said that it would probably be at least 8 weeks from surgery to where she gets her hand up. She has to have her hand in this contraption now. And then there's another 4 weeks in a cast at least. And I don't know what the recovery time is for not using your hand for 8 weeks, but I can't believe she's going to go right back to doing this right off the bat. So I'm thinking at the earliest, I wouldn't expect her to be back to normal until April at the earliest. And so I'm going to try to see if we can't hire an LTE that can come in and at least do some of the things that she can maybe direct them and see where we go with that. So we'll at least get some help there. And if you have any ideas on how we might do this, please sing out, because we never had anything like this before right now. And I know she's struggling and she's in pain and she's been taking some drugs. And I had the same drugs when I had back surgery. They're good drugs, but it's not always the best thing. So.
If they're good, maybe she'll share them.
The funny thing about this is, I think she's taking Percocet, which is what I had.
Oh, I get sick of
that. And that's the funny thing, is that you end up having this entire range of responses to this drug. And I can have two of them, and it doesn't make any difference to me hardly at all. And other people are in loopy land. And I asked the doctor about that. It says we're not supposed to drive. I've been taking it for 3 months before surgery. Nobody ever said I couldn't drive. It wasn't on a pill bottle or anything like that. He says, well, it just affects people differently. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they put these, what is the doctor told me, says, we put these warnings on these bottles that are the worst case scenario they've ever witnessed, which is that somebody went loopy, they shouldn't drive. He says, most people doesn't affect that way. But we have to put it on the bottle. Steve would tell us about this. It's the covering there, was to make sure. So I don't know what's going on with her or anything else. It's really good for pain, I'll tell you that. I still have a few left over at home. I'm husband for the future. I'm still struggling with the back. I've got the symptoms back. I'm trying to do some stuff. So I'm trying to hold off on this. So.
Now, Katie's graduated, right? So is she going to be replaced? And maybe if she is, find somebody that can pipe and help Sherry that way.
Mm-hmm. We'll still have some undergraduate work study. And the same thing goes if you know of anybody or you have some things that they could help you with, researching, help you with PowerPoints. They can't teach. They can't proctor tests. They shouldn't see student grades. They shouldn't, for instance, one of the things Sherry's doing right now is typing up evaluation comments. Students should do that. We have to have somebody who's outside that wing. So, but there's a number of things they can do. If you have something, we have work study money. If you find somebody eligible for it, we pay you. I think it's 25% of what the real cost is. It's really cheap. So if you find somebody, how much time do you spend telling them what to do, where you could have done it yourself, if you do. And so we'll get somebody to replace them. Some will depend on if this LTE can take some of the load off. But I'm thinking we're looking till April before we get Sherry back to anything like what she was before her accident, maybe even not that long. She's struggling right now, so. And that's all I had for today.
I have a few things.
Fire away.
Okay. I think everybody here knows, but in case you don't, I'm on the college budget committee, and there was a meeting yesterday. And the figure now that they have to find is $6 million in the budget. That's 3.9% of the $154 million budget that they have targeted. They may leave budget lines open. What they meant by that was if we have an unfilled position, and Mike's already alluded to that, they just may leave it that way. That's one option they're looking at. The Tri-State Initiative tuition will probably go up $600. I don't know if that'll affect the number of students that come to us or not. I have no idea. But anytime you see an increase in price, you also see usually a drop in demand. May not be, it just depends on how steep the curve is, as the saying goes. I talked about the crime scene house at the meeting. I said there's revenue sometimes, if I'm not mistaken. And they would, you know, obviously look for that revenue, make sure it's, if possible, self-supporting with the revenue for the crime scene house.
We talked about trying to leverage that into something, see if we get more people in there that pay us to use it or something.
Uh-huh.
It's on the list.
Yeah, so anyway, the crime scene house did come up during the discussion as a possible source of revenue. One thing I hope to, and I'll mention this at the curriculum committee meeting, is but maybe we should review the emphases that we have. And I'll mention that. The other thing is, I went online. I know we're a teaching institution, but I looked for research proposals from the National Institute of Justice. I'll just pass it around in case anybody here is interested in anything. And there's about four or five there that they're looking, NIJ is looking at for this coming year. Just four or five, what is it, six, seven topics. My fingerprint is on there from the grease on the pizza, so excuse that.
Well, but we'll process that.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
We're in the right spot.
Same thing, don't touch it.
So you'll see a grease smudge on there, so please excuse that. But that's what I had. Those are things I had.
Yeah, DRB, Tom and I and Theron, Dr. Parsons, will be meeting for our DRB meeting early January. So notebooks are due by the 5th, okay? That really entails basically just updating your narratives in your notebooks. So I need that before January 5th, and that date is URSTPC dates that are set in stone. So once I get those, I'll go ahead and put in all the forms, and then we'll meet with Tom and Darren, and I will meet for a couple hours, and we'll get those all squared away. So January 5th. And then also, I was assigned as interim coordinator for the undergraduate program to replace Dana until we find somebody else. And so if you're interested in doing a summer class online, I've already talked to most of you, but if you're interested in doing a summer class online, let me know, because I have to get an instructor right now. The courses are already in there in the books, and I have to submit instructor names by early January. So just let me know ahead of time so I get that all squared away. Okay, thanks.
I have a question now, mm-hmm. instead of a report. This summer will be the first time I have an intern. I have an intern that is probably going to go out to Nevada Department of Corrections.
Cool.
And I've never done that before. Is there like a binder or something I look through to figure out what I'm supposed to do?
It's a special tattoo you have to do.
Okay. As long as it's on my shoulder, because, you know, they don't allow tattoos in prisons for free staff. I can cover it up
have,
that way.
We have internship booklet mm-hmm. that explains what they all need to do,
yeah.
and they need to fill out the daily reports as well as some other reports.
Okay.
And there's actually quite a lot of writing that they need to do. I don't think the grading of it is terribly onerous, especially if they're a good writer. Valerie ran across somebody who was not so much last year. Todd Casper is blasting the student for their writing, you know the writing's bad. Because if Todd Casper doesn't like it, it's got to be really bad. So. And you need to visit them at least one time there, and we need to make sure that the internship is not we're going to file things all day long. We need to be able to shadow people and go through the process and make it meaningful kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can do that, or you can talk to anybody, talk to somebody, talk to anybody who's done one or several. Steve's done it. Everybody who's done one, pretty much. Maybe some advice on that. So.
Okay, thank you.
That's cool.
already sent two resumes out to the director and told him these are guys you got to look at, so I'm waiting to see. The trouble is, Illinois looks more attractive to the two.
And it actually brings to mind one other issue, which is, you know, and with all this stuff, everybody, you know, anybody wants to work on any of this stuff, feel free. I mean, we're not trying to silo anything here. The more ideas we have, the better. Everybody knows that Rex and Joe and Pat and I have been working on the 700-hour academy problem, which is now a 720-hour academy problem. And there's a potential solution that actually is pretty elegant if we can make it work. And that is, I've been talking to Tom Kretschmann out of Southwest Tech. They're really upset because they invested, I don't know how many, hundreds of hours in trying to fit the 720-hour academy into their program, their two-year program, and they were just told no certification tracks into your schools, period. That's it. So they cannot, yes, they cannot do it.
But that brings up a point. When I heard that, I am no longer so concerned about the issue because we no longer have the two-year schools in an unfair competitive situation.
Right.
It's not unfair anymore, so therefore, I don't have that concern anymore.
Well, it woke them right up, as you might imagine. And we still have the same concern, which is what do our students do if they're going to go to the academy? It doesn't work very well. And even though Training and Standards keeps not caring about this, but talk to Doug McKinley and ask him just how much he wants to hire somebody who hasn't been through the academy yet, and given that the academy is being made much more difficult than it was, whether Doug wants to hire somebody who after 3.5 months fails out, and now he's paid the money to the person, they still don't have a cop. I mean, he's just like, I don't want to do this. And he's not the only one. So the idea of people being able to have the academy before they go to the job market, there's some fairly good anecdotal evidence that that's the case. This last summer, Dane Hammerly, Kyle Keller, and Emily Kajas. Dane is, I think, was a sophomore when he went through the academy. The other two were juniors. All through the academy, passed this summer. Their tails were dragging a little bit at the end, but that's okay. They all have jobs. Mm-hmm. They got snapped up, just like that. And there's been this belief, I mean, amongst us and everybody else, that if we could graduate students with four-year degrees and academy certification, that's... You know, I used to be concerned about, you know, doing the academy or doing internships, but internships are a vehicle to getting a job, and if they're certifiable, that's probably as good or better. Mm-hmm. The only question is, how do we get that? And we had some preliminary discussions with Tom about this, and we have kind of this idea, and this is one of those things, we want people to poke at this as hard as you can and try to disprove it and see if it'll work, is we suggested that Southwest Tech could start an academy April 15th. 720 hours is 4.5 months. It ends the end of August, just like it normally does right now. Problem is, if you start April 15th, we're in the middle of the semester, how do you do that? Well, we could potentially take some of our courses and telescope them in a little bit. Make them end on April 1st, April 5th, some number like that. It actually kind of works. We have 8-week courses. No reason you couldn't theoretically do it. Right now we have people teaching Monday, Wednesday classes that are 78-minute classes. You could teach a Monday, Wednesday, Friday instead of 78 minutes, make them 65 or whatever you need to make the numbers come out. But you could have students take classes like this and be done with their semester April 1st or whatever number like that, say 12 credits, and now they're released from any further classroom duties on campus and now they're available to take this in their junior summer. And Tom, we kind of suggested this one point, Tom came back with it, which is, could we do this? There's not a physical reason why we couldn't do it. We teach different length courses all the time anyway. We teach winter, for goodness sakes. I mean, there's nothing holy about a 15-week semester. So if we could find a way to develop four courses or so that students would take in their junior spring semester, and we'd have to think about this so the students didn't take them ahead of time. They could do that. The question is whether you could find a way to cover the academy with their tuition in some fashion or another. Is there enough in the academy that makes it worth 3 credits as an elective? Or I don't know. We have to look and see. And until we get the curriculum, there's no way to tell. If that was a way you could have them maybe take that as a 3-credit independent study or elective or something like that and then slide the tuition towards Southwest Tech, in order to help pay for it, because it's going to cost them $4,500 a piece, more or less, to take this. And so we kind of looked at this and thought, maybe there's a way to pay for at least a lot of it, if not all of it. They still can be on track to graduate. Imagine these kids in their senior year already certified. I don't know, you think there's anybody that wouldn't be able to get a job?
We corner the market.
We corner the market. And it ends up having this really cool effect, which is if we have a program where they can come here and we can tell them, you do everything you're supposed to do, you'll come out of here certifiable with a four-year degree, and we would do what? It becomes a really interesting recruitment mechanism. So
they don't have to go to Illinois. That's where my students are going now. They're going to Illinois.
No. That's okay. I mean, as long as you get a job, that's all I want.
It's sad. They're going to be Bear fans.
No, they won't. It's not a foregone
conclusion. That is
sad. So we're still 2 years away from this even having happened. They won't have an academy until summer 2016 where this would happen. So we've got a little bit of time. But there's some advantages to it. Before, we were talking about trying to do the academy ourselves and what a nightmare that is. And you got all the background checks and the physical stuff and the attendance stuff and all this kind of stuff. And we don't have to do any of that. Southwest Tech would do it all. All we'd have to do is make sure that our students are ready to go, say, April 15th or thereabouts, which means we'd have to do a little bit of fudging with the schedule, but we're doing our fudging with that over winter and summer and everything else anyway. So chew on that, try to disprove it, try to destroy it.
There's one thing that comes to mind. Exactly. If you set up, and I'm not saying it's negative, I just think we should be aware of it, which is if we set up a 8-week course where you are moved into four courses, those become a new core. So you might want to adjust the core or the research methods or etiology, the required courses, adjust them for those going into that that track.
Yeah. We have to do something where it'll, first of all, leave those courses open for people who are in the academy track. If you have 15 students going to the academy, you can't teach a course of 15. You'd still have to allow other students to be in it. There's no reason why you couldn't do that. Of course, it doesn't just have to be people going to the academy. You just have other people say, I want to end my one class April 5th or whatever it is. So we'll have to do something like that. So just think about that. There's some elegance to it. That for all the work that Pat did before and trying to figure out a way to slide the academy into our curriculum area, we don't have to do a thing except shorten some courses in time, but not in content.
Well, I think some of this has been done in a different way, and that is, for those students who couldn't take the full internship but wanted to get the experience, they were able to do it under directed studies, X number of credits under directed studies. So what goes into that would require some pre-planning, but it still falls under their financial aid and everything else. So I don't see too much of a stretch if they were to take X weeks. Very similar to that of directed studies, which would require them, of course, to do reports or whatever else is required. So it's been done through the years, is what I'm saying. That for those students who could not afford the, or either had some condition where they couldn't do the full 8 weeks or the full internship, it was done through directed studies. Of course, somebody has to be in charge of it, and there has to be criteria for it.
We're a ways away from that happening, including somebody may find some fatal flaw we haven't thought of yet, or Southwest Tech, until it happens, if everybody agrees it hasn't happened, it always agrees. So, but it seems like this is in Southwest Tech's interest to work with us to do this. It would provide us with something nobody else would have, which would help us, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of downside to it.
So no two-year school will be able to have a law enforcement program?
No certification track.
I wonder how the community college or tech colleges feel about that, and I'm wondering if they're regretting not getting on board with us for that fight.
I bet they probably are.
And you know, that fight doesn't have to end. I still think we should try to get representation on that LE, Law Enforcement Standards Board, and on the committee. And is it possible to talk to Tranel, see if he carry a bill for us?
Sure.
That's what should happen. I will try to write up a proposed bill.
Has anybody, have you talked to the new AG at all?
No.
AG Elect?
We've been trying to get him to come here.
Maybe there's an easier way to do it.
Well, the AG could carry or request a bill too. It doesn't,
yes,
but it
that's
has
what
to,
I'm saying.
But it has to be a bill to change that law. And actually, there's two sections, and I forget the number of this chapter, but two sections in that chapter of statutes have to be changed, and then we'd have representation.
Well, the new AG is a strong law enforcement candidate, advocate. So, and particularly if we get backed up by some of the big chiefs in Wisconsin,
and
you got to get a handle on your training board.
And we could probably get the two-year schools behind us now where we couldn't before. Because they're probably upset.
It works well, but they still get fed the people they need to be able to run their programs, and we get our students certified and graduating with 40 degrees. It just seems like an easy thing. Nothing's that easy. I'm sure there's some giant landmine sitting there somewhere.
Yeah, it's the staff up at the training.
Probably what will happen is the training standard boards will require that the academy be run some really bizarre time period that makes it really hard for us to do this. But that wouldn't put it past anything that stabs in the back.
They got their little fight going. There's no doubt about that.
We need to be careful who they make mad, because when you make somebody so mad that they don't care about who they destroy in the process, they keep fighting even when they shouldn't.
I got an exam, so excuse me.
Anybody have anything else? Just pizza. Thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Pizza bricks.
Of there being an opening to carry a counter-terrorism, I would love to get that vote ever comes in for you. Anything I can do to help out?
Yeah. Well, let's just let that happen. That's good. Yeah.
Do to have a part in that.
Wonderful, yeah, that's great.
Okay.
This is quite needful.